It's such a joy to be with you, and I've got to start by saying that Pam sends her love. She loves being with you and enjoyed her time just recently with you. And greetings from all at Woodlands as well. I love praying for you every day, so you're never far from our thoughts. And I suppose I still feel that kind of apostolic covering care in prayer and support for you. And part of prayer is not just asking for God's blessing. We shared in one of those lovely songs today that prayer is not just us telling God our plans and asking him to bless them. Prayer is God revealing to us his plans and blessing us through those plans. So I want to sense today that I'm not just sharing another sermon, but I want to be bringing a kind of prophetic word. What I sense God is saying at this time into the life of the church, and I've been sensing this for some time. So the word I particularly feel is that this is a new season of revelation. A new season of revelation. One of the scriptures particularly, and we'll perhaps be able to put it up on the screen, is 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. It says this: "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love him." So there are things that God has already prepared for those that love him. If you love the Lord Jesus this morning, there are things that God has already prepared for your life, for your purposes in your life, your personal life, your family life, for life as church together. But the verse then goes on to say, we can't see it with our eyes, we can't hear it with our ears, we can't conceive it with our mind. However, we're going to know it. It says God reveals it to us by his Spirit. That's what I want to think about today, is this new season of revelation where God is revealing to us his purposes for our lives and revealing himself to us. In fact, this second scripture I want to also take is Ephesians chapter 1. However, asking, and Paul is saying here about his prayer, and it's not just one prayer. He says, I keep on praying this prayer for you. So it really was significant. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So it's not only God revealing to us his plans and purposes, but revealing himself to us. We might know him better. And that's what we're going to try and share a bit together and unfold as we share. I feel this is a remarkable time in the life of the church where God is revealing himself in special ways. Even here this morning, maybe for some folk here, you've never really felt God speaking directly to you. What was it? What would it mean today just to sense a new season of revelation? I've sensed over these past months lots of people who, almost the least person you'd expect, but have had God revealing himself to them in special ways. And for other people who've been lapsed Christians, not around church for years, and yet just a fresh revelation where God has been speaking. These are times of revelation where God is moving by his Spirit. And one of the scriptures that particularly has encouraged me in this word was right back in Luke chapter 2, where we have the story of Simeon. He's a dear old man, and he loved God and was very much committed to a life of prayer. This is before Pentecost, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yet it says in Luke 2, in these three verses, 25, 26, 27, it's just full of the Holy Spirit. It says in Luke 2, verse 25, about Simeon, it says, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Then the next verse, it says, then the Holy Spirit revealed to him. And this is what God revealed to him. And it was that season of revelation for him, is that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah himself. Now remember, there are over hundreds of years, it was centuries, there have been so many prophecies, promises that one day Jesus, the Messiah, would come. And during all those different generations, people had lived and longed for that moment. But now for Simeon, here's this revelation where God says to him, Simeon, you won't die until you see the Messiah. The next verse, verse 27, says, this now shapes his life, everything he does, where he goes, where he stays. The next day the Holy Spirit moved him to go into the temple at that particular moment. So the Holy Spirit was upon him, the Holy Spirit revealed him, the Holy Spirit now moved him. And as he goes into the temple that particular day, lots of parents would come with their children, but this particular couple come in, Mary and Joseph, with a baby Jesus, and immediately recognizes this is the Messiah. and takes it in his arms. And there's that moment of God's revelation coming to fulfillment. Now, you know, for all of us, God has purposes that he's planned for us, that he longs to reveal to us. But our eyes can't see them always, our ears can't hear them, we can't conceive our mind, but the Holy Spirit longs to reveal to us his purposes. Now, in the case of Simeon, there was that amazing sense. This wasn't just a promise from yesterday or the day before. This was over all those centuries, God's promise that one day the Messiah would come. And this was the moment. And he was part of those eternal purposes. And yet, this man of God, he was part of those eternal purposes. God's purpose and plan for his life was part of that greater picture. You know, for all of us, there is a sense in which God's plan for our lives is part of that greater purpose, that bigger picture. Just, you know, as for Simeon, God had said, you won't die until you see the Messiah. That was Jesus' first coming, which there have been hundreds of promises. There are just as many promises of Scripture that Jesus is yet going to come again. Now, you know, all around the world today, millions of people, we actually sang it several times in our songs today about Jesus coming again. But you know, for millions of people around the world today, they won't just sing it, they won't just read about it in the Bible, they will actually declare it publicly. And they'll say these words, they're familiar words of liturgy, as it were, but I'll just test you on this morning. So here we go. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Millions of people now today, all around the world, be saying that. I guarantee if you were to stop at the door of the churches, people are going out and say, did I just hear you say that Christ will come again? Oh yeah, we say it every Sunday. Really? You say every Sunday that Christ will come again? How does that affect your life? And well, it's just what we say. We're part of our liturgy. Really? How much does it shape our... If today the Holy Spirit was upon you and was to reveal to you that you wouldn't die until Jesus came again, how much would it shape the rest of your life? How much would it shape what you do today, tomorrow? How much would it influence and impact it, as it were? You know, every day of my life, and I have done so for more slightly over 60 years now, at my children, when they were growing up, used to smile in the morning if they came in to our bed, as it were, in the morning. And I draw the curtains back, and every day I pray this little prayer. Every day. I did this morning, out loud. Is it today, Lord? Is it today? Every day. Because I want every day to be shaped by that. That sense of living in the light of his coming, shaped by that promise that Jesus is coming again. Now, that's what the Bible says, is that for every generation, we're to live with that expectation, because that expectation should shape our lives, what we do, what we say, what we are. In many ways, see, so God is unfolding his plans and purposes for us, and we're part of that eternal plan. Last time I was with you, I shared with you a prophetic word I felt last year, and I won't test you on it, but... it was lovely already to hear one or two folk who shared how God has remarkably answered prayer from that time. But I felt God was saying it would be, he was stirring for us an expectation to expect a fresh wave of God's Spirit in prayer. And I shared with you some of the ways in which God had been stirring that for me. So during the year, there were lots of different ways. Towards the end of the year, I felt particularly God stirring. And I think I told you a little of this then. And why I'm sharing it now, because I wanted to share one of the things about prophecy is, and the Bible says one of the best ways of gauging if prophecy really is true is if it comes to pass. So I'm a year later now, almost to the day. And so I shared then that as I was praying that, and part of my daily prayer for you, for God to say, what do you pray for me, Rob? Well, I'll always be praying that prophetic word I'm sensing. So I pray for you now, today, this morning. Oh God, a new season of revelation here today. Last year, as I'm praying that, I felt one morning God say to me, just stir in my heart, expect this fresh wave of God's Spirit to reach a new young generation. And I can remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, there are so many challenges for young people today. Challenges of mental health, of social media, of peer group pressures in this city, of knife culture, and so many pressures for young people. And I remember saying then to God, oh God, there's been Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z. And I felt God say to me as clear as if he was sat next to me, there's going to be a new generation, an alpha generation. And I thought, ooh. So every day I was then praying, every day, oh God, a fresh wave of your spirit to reach a new generation of young people. And that alpha generation. So I've always felt for many years, right, in fact, from 1980, a kind of heart for what used to be called the Greater Bristol area. It used to be called Avon, for those of you old enough to remember that. Avon was that kind of wider area, including Bath and Weston and Bristol, as it were, a million people. And so I'm praying now, oh God, what would it mean? So among those million people, there most likely 100,000 young people, 100,000. And normally to reach any people group, even to have a ripple effect, you need to reach at least 5%. I doubt if the church reaches 1% of those unreached young people. So 5% would be 5,000. So I'm praying then every day, God, we might reach 5,000 unchurched young people. And I then contacted the Alpha office. I told you a bit of this last year, I think, then. And I contacted the Alpha office in London, not just to ask about the main app, but about Youth Alpha. And they were very excited because they said, we're about to launch in January 25 a new Youth Alpha course. Oh, I felt I was really excited to hear it. He said, and I'd also just heard about a little schools week they'd had over in Bath where they'd had a really amazing response and done a Youth Alpha coming out of it. And so I talked with a folk in London. His name was Aaron, who heads up the Youth Alpha for the United Kingdom. And I said about the school's outreach with a band called LZ7. And he said, yeah, he said, they're based with us here. I said, really? He looked at his screen. He said, actually, we're about to launch. This was back in the autumn of last year. He said, we're about to launch all around the country the new Youth Alpha course to start in January. And so we're visiting around the country. And he looked at his screen. He said, actually, he said, we're coming to Bristol next week. I said, oh, really? I said, where are you coming? He said, a place called Woodlands. I said, I know it. And anyway, I booked in to be there on the Tuesday lunchtime. And I think I told you this bit of the story. So the next bit is yet to come. But so I got there on the Tuesday lunchtime. And sure enough, the folk came down to London, did a great, some little excerpts, animation stuff from the new Youth Alpha course on video. And the person on the phone said, actually, the leader of the band is going to come down with us because he's going on to Bath for a follow-up there. I said, oh, well, look. So halfway through the meeting, the crypt door opened and in came someone and sat next to me. I was sat at the back. And the person leading the meeting said, let's have a little break now. Stretch your legs, speak to the person next to you. I speak to the person next to me. And it was the band leader. I said, oh, I've been looking forward to meeting you and hearing a bit more about it. How do you, in a school's context, be able to reach out with the good news in a way that's appropriate? And he says, what we do, we give them more lanyards with a little QR code, and we do lots of stuff which is in curriculum in terms of, you know, challenges of bullying and all the other things that you showed me. And then we do some music stuff and testimonies and questionnaires. And at the end of the week, we do a special gig for them at a neutral venue, bring them together. Oh, I said, so anyway, I'm feeling this stirring every day for a fresh wave of God's Spirit to reach 5,000 unchurched people. And I think I told you then, he said to me, I'm not just going across the Bath, I'm going to a place just outside of Bristol. I said, oh, where's that? He said, I'm going to The Wave. And those who don't know The Wave is an iconic venue just outside of Bristol where they create artificial waves for surfing. My grandson is just finishing at Manchester University as a medic, and he's president of the Surfing Society. When he comes to Bristol, he doesn't want to see us. He goes to The Wave first. And in fact, he spent 2 summers staying with us for 2 months and working in the kitchen at The Wave and getting free surfing. So I've been up and down there so many times. He couldn't do his surfboard on his bike, so I used to take him there, or he had punches. I said, why are you going to The Wave? Oh, he said, over in Bath, I met the owner of The Wave, and he was asking me what we were doing here, and I told him about the schools week we'd just been doing, etc., and he's really interested. I said, oh, really? He said, but next year, in 2025, we normally do the big church day week out, and they've changed the date of it, so we're going to discuss with them the possibility over these next few years, the possibility of being able to do a Christian festival at The Wave. Then he says to me, a Christian festival at The Wave for 5,000 unchurched young people. Oh, I said, really? So I'm really feeling serious. So anyway, following on to that, we then had discussions with them, and we managed to arrange for them to be able to come this year, 2025. We also discussed further with the Alpha office as to what, I asked them how many Youth Alpha courses they'd done in that previous year, and then the year before, and eventually I asked them the last 5 years, and how many are you aiming for this year of 2025? And they told me how many they'd done, and I really felt God stir in my heart that we would be praying to see 5,000 unchurched young people reached, and to see 50 plus new Youth Alpha courses across the Bristol region. That was twice as many as there's ever been in a year. Well, we're now a year later, so that was all last year. Last week, the band was for this here in Bristol. They visited five of the main large secondary schools in Bristol. The goal was to reach 5,000 unchurched young people. Amazing response every day. Some of you may have, if you've got children in secondary school, in Mary Redcliffe, in Brunel School, in Abbey Wood, in Oasis Academy School, and Trinity School at Lotleys, those were the five schools they visited, and had an amazing response. I mean, each day I would follow it in prayer, and I contacted the headmasters at the end of it, wondering what they would do. Some of these weren't Christian headmasters. All amazing responses. And then on Friday, we brought together for that gig hundreds of young people. They paid their tickets to come to Woolies, packed out. And the gospel was shared, and literally hundreds of young people responded to the gospel. Tomorrow we start the first of the Youth Alphas all around the city, etc., following on for it. And so this year we have seen 5,000 unchurched young people reached, and now we were able, at first tracking the hour. I'm always keen to be focused in sensing those goals that God gives. So the trouble was, first of all, Youth Alpha, I said to him, how many did you do? He said, well, he told me what you did for the country, but how many did you do for the Bristol region? We couldn't quite get that easily off, particularly for the Old Avon region. So I said, well, can you filter on the Bristol BS code and the BA code? Together they make up Avon. And so we've done it. We tracked it in January, February. Every month it's grown and grown. We're already over 50 courses. So God has graciously fulfilled that. But that's just one glimpse. There are constantly things that God has in his heart for us that he's already planned. And just like with that, it was almost step by step God was unfolding, just revealing by his Spirit little glimpses. For you as a church here, what does it mean for this to be a new season of revelation? God's unfolding plans and purposes over this next year. Step by step, God unfolding those plans and sensing God's direction. What is it for our personal lives? Now you may say, but Rob, you know my life, I'm really struggling at the moment. It's difficult to sense there's any plan or purpose. Maybe health issues, it may be financial challenges, it may be family issues or relationship breakdown or situation where you feel it's such a mess. And yet God is at work, even in the midst of it all, unfolding his purposes. What does it mean for God to awaken us morning by morning with a listening ear, an instructed tongue, the sense of God's purpose for our lives? Part of that purpose constantly is, and with that promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus, you know, when scripture says we're not just waiting for his coming, we're hastening his coming. Well, how can you hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus? We don't even know the date of it, because scripture says that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all people, all nations, then the end will come. Whenever we communicate this good news of Jesus, we're hastening his coming. Whenever we see that good news shared, and it is a new spiritual climate around today. Even since that time last year, it's been great to sense now that talks of a quiet revival of God's moving by his Spirit. And it's true. I've seen more people come to know the Lord these past months than I've ever seen. Every week I look to see somebody come to the Lord. On either side, I could tell you so many stories all the time. So last time I think I told you about my younger brother and some of the other folk that I've seen come to the Lord. And I may have even told you about my other brother who some months ago came to know the Lord. And our neighbours either side. I mean, a new neighbour moved in next door to us, and we went in, Pam and I, to say hi and welcome. And a young professional fella, bright spark. When I saw him, I recognised him from years ago when he was a little boy. His family were part of church that I used to go and speak at sometimes. I remember him sat on the front row and his parents. But somehow during his teenage years, he'd thrown it all overboard, and he'd had lots of kind of questions he couldn't find the answers to, or his friends asked the questions. So he became an atheist, and quite an ardent atheist, follower of Dawkins and Chris Hitchens, some of those more assertive atheists. And anyway, he recognized me and was immediately asking all sorts of questions, controversial questions about the existence of God, etc. And anyway, we had our cup of coffee together and welcomed him and invited him back. And it was about 5 weeks later that he came back. He said he could only pop in for half an hour after work. And so he did. And I had prayed, by now this word is on my heart, a new season of revelation. So I'm saying, oh Lord, just help me to know what... I mean, I've been involved in lots of debates, a chaplain at the university, etc., on the existence of God. Even Dawkins himself came down here to Bristol. We had a big debate, etc. But I felt God say to me, look, you could win an argument but still lose a soul. So don't get into that sort of thing. And I just felt God say, I'll reveal to you. Anyway, came in, sat. So we're in our sitting room. He sat on the sofa. I'm on an armchair here. And after a little while, he's only going to be there for half an hour. After a little while, he quickly came into some kind of questions. And I thought, oh, I won't bite the bait. So I'm sat there listening and just responding gently to him. And then I felt God say to me, say this to him. I did. I pulled out of my back pocket a little copy of John's Gospel. I've just given away the one I've got. But anyway, it's no bigger than that, you know, John's Gospel. And I said to him, his name was Thomas. I said, this is what I just felt that moment God prompted me to. I said, Thomas, I said, have you ever read with an adult mind one of the biographies of Jesus? I know you know these stories from Sunday school and back. No, he said, I haven't got a Bible anymore. He said, I certainly wouldn't be reading it, he said. And I said, well, there are many amazing biographies, political biographies, great tomes, but this little book here, just that thick. I said, Jesus had a follower called Thomas, same name as you. And one day, Jesus had gone through the agony of the cross and he'd risen from the dead and he appears to some of his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. When they see Thomas, they're so excited to tell him all about it. But Thomas, he'd now become a real cynic, a doubter. And he says to them, look, he almost says like once bitten, twice shy. But what he says to them is, I'd never believe unless I could put my finger in that nail print and my hand in that side. I'll never believe. A week later, Jesus appeared to them again. And this time, Thomas was there. Now, as far as we know, he never put his finger into Jesus' nail print. He just fell down in front of him and said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says to him, and I turned it, it was one of those little John's Gospel where some of the sayings of Jesus were highlighted in bold letters. I said, Jesus says to him, Thomas, you've believed because you've seen me. But more blessed are going to be all those people, all those future generations, even now in 2025, who won't see me physically and yet will believe. And then John, the writer of that gospel, puts his own comment. Unusually, up to then he's just describing him, but he puts his own comment. He says, you know, there are many other miraculous things that Jesus did that I've not yet recorded in this book, but I've recorded sufficient for anyone in all those future generations to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing to have life in his name. He looked at me and said, does it really say that? I said, look, it's here. I showed him. He said, can I borrow it? I said, you can. I said, look, why don't you just read the first few chapters, and maybe we'll meet again for a coffee in a few weeks' time and just go through any questions you've got. We're still doing that Bible study. We moved on. In fact, I'm due to do it tomorrow night, 6:30 with him. Meanwhile, my other neighbour, the other side, she's a Catholic, a young Catholic from Poland, and it was a Saturday morning, and I'm out, and she's coming back from shopping, and she said, oh, Rob, she said, I've been meaning to catch you. She said, you know, I'm a Catholic. I used to go to church every week. She said, but I haven't been for over a year, she said. It was all going over my head, she said. And you go to church, don't you? I said, I do, yes, sometimes. And she said, could I come with you sometime? It was a Sunday, not a Saturday. I said, yeah, I was speaking that evening at Woody's. So she came with me. And God really touched her. You know, when we read the Bible, she said, oh, I've never heard anybody explain the Bible like that. And when we prayed, she said, I'd love to know more about it. I said, well, I said, exactly the same as I said to Thomas. I said, well, her name was Olivia. Olivia, I said, I pulled out my next John Gospel. I said, you know, she said, should I, I've actually got a Bible, a Catholic Bible. She said, well, would you, could you find John's Gospel in it and just read the first few chapters and we'll reflect on it together. And she did. Now, in fact, she's my neighbour, but I still did it on WhatsApp because sometimes I'm away and she was away. So we just did it on a WhatsApp video call. And the next week we did it and she had some great questions. I've done it with hundreds of people over the years. And as we're going through, I really sense the Holy Spirit revealing himself to us. Just as John promised, I've written these things that you might believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And I says to her, I get to that very chapter 20 in John's Gospel. And I said, Olivia, I said, John says it. He's written this in order that we might realise that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Has it helped you to understand who he is? Oh, it really has helped me to realize how significant he is and how important he is, he said. But it goes on to say that you might have life in his name. Is that something you would want? Oh, she said, I'd love to know that, she said, but I wouldn't know where to begin. Would you like me to help you? Can you? And so I'd already given her the week before a little copy of the Why Jesus booklet. I should have one of those in my pocket, but again, I've given it away this week, so they've been going fast this week. So I just went through it with her, just that simple explanation of those simple steps of becoming a Christian. In Why Jesus, it has a helpful little thing of, first of all, that kind of ABC of admitting your need. Instead of making an excuse, it's not my fault, it's my upbringing, or just say sorry to God. B is to believe that Jesus, as the Son of God, loved you and gave himself for you. And C, to commit yourself to him. How do you do that, she said. I said, well, many people just do that with a simple prayer. She said, I wouldn't know how to pray myself, she said. I'm just used to hearing prayers at church. She said, yeah, but you can pray to God. I wouldn't know how to do that. Would you like me to help you? Now remember, I'm on the end of a video call with a WhatsApp video call. She said, would you help me? I said, yeah. I'll just pray slowly and you pray. So she did. I mean, this is my neighbor, Olivia. I just to hear her say, oh God, I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've done in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. And as she prayed, I really felt the Holy Spirit witnessing. And since then, we've been through Romans as well. And it's been great just to see her growing in that faith. God is at work by his Spirit around our world. God is longing to reveal himself to us and through us. You know that second verse we read, it speaks about Paul's prayer, and he says, I keep praying this constantly. It's like as if it was his continual prayer for them, is that God will give you a spirit of revelation that you might know him better. So it's not just God revealing himself in coming to know Jesus, but to know more of him. So for all of us, do you want to know him better? I know in my life, there's so much more I want to know of him. How do we open our lives up for the Holy Spirit to reveal more of Jesus in our lives? You know that lovely Psalm 23, perhaps the most well-known of all the Psalms. That it's amazing the way it covers all those different circumstances of life. The Lord is my shepherd and he leads us. And sometimes he leads us by still waters. There are periods of life where everything seems really calm and still and peaceful and stable. And we thank God for those moments, but sometimes all hell seems to be let loose and we seem on every front to have pressures and challenges. He says, but though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, all that overshadowing sense in which those clouds go in my life, feel almost as if sometimes we can feel life like that, whether it may be physical suffering or pain or grief or bereavement or heartache. Yet he says, yet I won't be afraid because you're with me, your presence is with me. And he says these amazing words. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, I don't know if you ever think about it, but I expect you've said it many times, but why do you anoint a sheep's head with oil? Well, in fact, they did. It was a common thing in those days. What would happen with a sheep? And we have a number of examples in Scripture, perhaps the most famous one was Abraham when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, and there's a ram with its head caught in a thicket. Often when they're rummaging for pasture, they get to the edge of a field and they're in, and before long they're caught in a bramble or a thicket and they get some quite bad scars. And the trouble is they can't scratch their head, so it gets infected and it can drive them mad almost. So what the shepherd would do is he would anoint their head with oil. And as he anointed their head with oil, it would bring that healing and wholeness and renewal and restoration. My cup overflows. You know, this week, even just yesterday morning, I prayed with a young man who's, God's really turned his life around. He was there at one of these school things this past week, and so much so. And at the end, I was praying about his future, and it's just in his final year at school. And as I prayed for him, I took some oil. I always carry my little cruse of oil. And as I prayed, that scripture came to mind. Lord, I'm going to anoint your head with oil now. Whatever there was a number of issues still in his life he was working through. And I said, as I anoint with oil, I'm going to pray that your cup will overflow, that fresh release of God's Spirit. There's a real sense of the Holy Spirit touching him. I suppose most days this week I pray with somebody. I've still got some oil left, so I want to be able to sense I could use it even today. What we're going to do is this. See, in Scripture, it's not just those moments of revelation and people coming to know it. When Jesus speaks to the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria, with such a checkered background, and he speaks prophetically into her life about a whole history, even the way she's living now with someone who's not her husband, etc., etc. And she looks at him and says, wow, you're a prophet. Why? Because Jesus prophetically spoke his life into her life, revealing. You know, even not just in coming to know the Lord, but in knowing him better. For John, for Peter, when Jesus with his disciples says to them on one occasion, who do men say that I am? And Peter eventually says, wow, you're the Christ, the Son of God. Remember, that's what John had said, that you might realize that Jesus the Christ. And when Peter said that to Jesus, his immediate response was this: Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. You didn't just work it out. It wasn't what your eye or your ear or your mind. You didn't. But my Father in heaven revealed that to you. So God reveals himself to us in fresh ways. What does it mean when Scripture says he awakens me morning by morning with a listening ear and instructed tongue? So I'm going to pray. My prayer in coming this morning and my prayer over these past months to you every day has been a new season of revelation. But now I'm not just going to pray that for you, I'm going to pray that with you. So what we're going to do is this. We're going to sing a little song and get the worship group up if we may. And it's an old song, but it's a prayer. I've used it before with you because it, for me, has had a special anointing on it of the Holy Spirit. It says, Spirit of living God, fall afresh on me. That's my prayer today. That God will melt our hearts and mold us and shape us and fill us, revealing his purposes to us. So what we're going to do is, instead of often I'll say, this is our closing song, let's all stand to sing it. I don't want any of you to stand because it's the closing song, all right? But I do want all of you to stand if today you're open to a new season of revelation in your life. You long to know him better. That prayer of Paul, I keep praying this, you'll have the spirit of wisdom revel it to know him better. You long to know that. I'm already standing, so I want to know him better. If you do, then just as we begin to sing, just stand to your feet. And I'm going to pray for you. Is that okay? That's the deal? Okay, so let's just begin to sing this lovely song, Spirit of Living God, fall afresh on me. To sing, come Holy Spirit, come now. Just like with that dear old man Simeon, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Come upon us, Lord, fill us afresh. God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace. We trust in you that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, now from deep within, those springs of living water welling up inside of us, spring up, O well. Spring up, O well. Break through any barriers, any hindrances, anything in our lives that would grieve or quench your spirit, Lord. Thank you that your precious blood, Lord Jesus, cleanses from all unrighteousness. Lord, fill us afresh. Fill us to overflowing. Lord, I ask that this week, whenever we pray, we will sense a new season of revelation in our lives. Waken us, Lord, morning by morning with a listening ear, an instructed tongue. Come now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. What I want to do is just to offer this morning to, I've still got some oil left in my little cruise here from yesterday, and I'd love to be able to pray for as many of you as I can. And what we're going to do is this, we're going to continue to sing this through a few times, and if you, I'm going to invite you just to come and sit on this front row. If you're already on the front row and would like prayer, just sit down where you are and I'll pray for you first. Once you've been prayed for, if you can leave your seat so others then could come. And I look forward just to praying for many of you here and just anointing you with oil. And the prayer will be that this week you will sense that new season of revelation. So let me invite you now just to come for prayer and that anointing with oil. That sense that he anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Come by your Spirit now, Lord. Release your purpose as we pray. In Jesus' name.